Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you to this segment, and it is our interview segment. It is with Mufti Muhammad Akusab Damat Barakatuhu. Remember, the date today is the 25th of Safar, 1446. Let's welcome our Mufti Sahab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mufti.
Walaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Mawlana?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. All is well. How's Mufti Saab doing?
Allah bless you, Allah bless you.
Where's Mufti Saab on travels to towards today?
Alhamdulillah, we are around with Allah's order.
Yeah. Alhamdulillah. So Mufti Saab, we've got a lot to discuss and Safar is almost over. Mufti Saab can share with us a few events of Safar, inshallah, that was left out.
Alhamdulillah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa sallallahu ala al-Nabi al-Ummi. Another very great Sahabi, radiallahu anhu, who also left this world in this month. It was in the month of Safar, in the year. And this Sahabi was 77 years old when he left this world. He was none other than Muhammad ibn Maslama, alhamdulillah. So this Sahabi, Allahu Akbar, he embraced Islam in the early stages and he was very close to Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we learn that he was basically like a personal guard of the messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was very young when he embraced Islam. He embraced Islam from the people of Medina Munawwara. And Hazrat Mus'ab bin Umair, radiallahu anhu, gave him the da'wat. Then he came and he saw that Hazrat Mus'ab was sitting and teaching in Medina Munawwara. And he approached and he greeted. So Hazrat Mus'ab told him, let me teach you the greetings of the people of Jannah. And Muhammad ibn Muslim was interested to know. And alhamdulillah, he learned that. And he kept on listening attentively to the words of Hazrat Mus'ab radiallahu anhu, who explained the beauty of Islam, the oneness of Allah, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to call us to worship Allah alone and to denounce idolatry, Lat, Uzza, to testify Allah's oneness, to testify the finality of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being Allah's final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then when Muhammad bin Maslama said, but I worship Lat, so Hazrat Mus'ab explained to him that can the idol hear you when you call out unto it? Can it benefit you in any way? Can it harm you? So he says, you know, I found my forefathers on the same creed. I saw them do this. This is why I do this. So he asked him nicely, as Mus'ab said, tell me, if they were doing something that you understand to be wrong, clearly wrong, would you still do the same? He says, no, what you're saying makes sense, that if someone is doing something wrong, his father does something wrong, he has to also look to do the right thing. So Hazrat Muhammad ibn Maslama then said, okay, tell me about this Quran I heard about. So Hazrat Mus'ab radiallahu anhu recited to him verses of Surah Sabah. These verses, after أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وله الحمد في الآخرة وهو الحكيم الخبير يعلم ما يلج في الأرض وما يخرج منها وما ينزل من السماء وما يعرج فيها وهو الرحيم الغفور. And as imagine Hazrat Mus'ab, who learns directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Mus'ab was in Medina Munawwara doing da'wat and ta'aleem. He was known as the Muqri, al-Muqri, the teacher in Medina Munawwara. So imagine how beautiful would be the rendition of Hazrat Mus'ab radiallahu anhu. And imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's presentation of the truth, because the Quran Kareem says, "Yatlu alayhim ayatihi." Among the works of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is da'wat, is ta'aleem, and is tazkiyah. And so many beautiful works of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the word used for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's da'wat is interesting. "Yatlu alayhim ayatihi," which means da'wat. And where do we get this understanding? Because Quran speaks of tilawa. "Utlu ma uhiya ilayka min al-kitabi wa aqim as-salah." Recite. Utlu from the word tilawa. But when yatlu is used with ala, it means da'wah. Because whenever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do da'wah, he would recite Quran to the people. So here Hazrat Mus'ab learns the same. So Allah give us all tawfiq to participate in all the beautiful works of our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tazkiyah, ta'aleem, the social work, and jamaat, which is bringing the Muslim back to iman and connecting people to Allah, making effort on our Muslim community, so important. And then also Allah give us tawfiq to also uplift this neglected work of the Anbiya alayhi wa sallam, because today sadly the ummah doesn't know. that, you know, it's my duty, every one of us. Yeah, Hazrat Mus'ab, a Sahabi of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent Sahaba to do da'wat. Hazrat Mus'ab is giving da'wat to Hazrat Muhammad ibn Maslama radiallahu anhu. And yeah, he recites the Quran to him, subhanAllah. So reciting Quran and making deen and making the message of Islam available to people is so pertinent and important for us as Muslims. Alhamdulillah, Allah give us tawfiq. In a few days' time, we got a program where we're inviting our non-Muslim neighbors, alhamdulillah, just for some tea. And in our area, there's a lot of Hindus, so we're inviting them, arranging for them vegetarian. And through the ikram, then we'll tell them a little bit about the beauty of Islam, the oneness of Allah. Just like we see Hazrat Mus'ab, how he's explaining to Muhammad ibn Maslama Allah's oneness, Allah's greatness. Not long ago, we were on a hospital visit, and generally we make dua for the men, and we ask the ladies to make dua for the ladies. But there was a very elderly lady who made a request to visit her husband who had just embraced Islam. She had embraced Islam about 10 years prior. So when we visited him, alhamdulillah, he had embraced Islam. His father was a senior pandit. So this man was a policeman for a senior department, but he had retired. Anyway, our next Jamaat trip, he joined us also. And then in that, alhamdulillah, he changed his life and so forth and so forth. Then when his wife passed away, just a few years ago, then we got our sisters to make the janazah and so forth, alhamdulillah. And a lot of her non-Muslim family members attended from far and wide. So alhamdulillah, we were there and we explained to them that, you know, we all have to meet Allah and go back to our Creator who made us. But how wise was Ma, that she prioritized what the Almighty says over what people have to say. Because people will comment. People have something or the other to say, but she prioritized what the Almighty says and not what people have to say. Now that she has passed on, she's to return to the Maker and the Creator who made her, and He will take care of her. And inshallah, He forgive her and grant her paradise. Because she, despite what everyone else says, she didn't take effect from that. She did the right thing. So when speaking to the Hindu community, I didn't tell them, see, you're all Hindus, are like this. No. We told them, see, we shouldn't worry what people have to say. We have to worry what the Almighty has to say. Just a week later, a couple came, elderly, Uncle Sam. He said, you know what you said that day was so profound, that we all worry what everyone has to say. But when we die, there's no one who enters that grave with us. We have to go back to our Creator alone and return to Him. So please, we also want to be Muslim. Alhamdulillah. Just yesterday, I went to visit a friend of mine, and because before Maghrib Salah, and when I stopped by him, he was by his store. He was a mechanic. And I just got talking to him, and I heard that he's depressed because his friend committed suicide a few days ago. So this man was depressed and sad. And I felt so sad because he's talking to me about so many other things. And then he says, you know, I came to see you a month ago because I was sad, but you weren't there. And I'm thinking, Ya Allah, as he's talking. And in that he says, now, because I didn't find you, I went down the road. There was one, a Hindu lady doing, you know, treatment. So I went there and I felt this way or that way. Thinking, Ya Allah, as he's speaking, I'm thinking, Ya Allah, how weak are we? We don't know how to reach the people. The man came right to my door. And I couldn't reach him. It was really depressing for me yesterday. But then we realized how incapable and weak we are, and how humanity are looking for the truth, and we have to be available to them. And this is what our Sahaba Kiram learned from our beloved Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So that's why we're having this ikram for the non-Muslims of our community also, just to make the ikram and also to see an opportunity to invite them to the truth in a wise manner. Inshallah. So, Hazrat Mus'ab radiallahu anhu recited this verses of the Quran to Muhammad ibn Maslama. And Muhammad was amazed. He says, Ma ahsan hada, how beautiful, how amazing. It's not possible for a human being to utter and articulate such words. What to do to become like you? See, subhanAllah, the words of Quran inspired him. Hazrat Mus'ab then told him to wash, to clean himself, to utter the Shahada. And then he went and washed and came and uttered the Shahada. And Hazrat Muhammad ibn Maslama went and did that and embraced Islam. Then he asked Hazrat Mus'ab, teach me. And Hazrat Mus'ab radiallahu anhu used to teach him. Respected Ummah, every one of us can do the same. Guide someone. Our men, make effort on the men. Our mothers and sisters, make effort on the mothers and sisters. People are waiting. People are thirsty. They want to know about Allah. They want to know about Muslims. They want to know about the truth. What the information they get is what is untrue. There's another very interesting incident where there were the Jewish community harming Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Makkah. Ka'b bin Ashraf was swearing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and rallying the mushrikeen against Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he was giving courage to the mushrikeen after they had lost in Badr. He went and gave them courage and he started vilifying and expressing the blessed wives of the Sahaba Kiram in a very disrespectful manner and so forth. So Alhamdulillah, Hazrat Muhammad ibn Maslama carried out this great task, Alhamdulillah. And he ended him off with a lot of wisdom. But this hadith is quite interesting, where he goes to Ka'b bin Ashraf. Ka'b comes from the Jewish community. And when he goes there, he asks him for a loan. And Ka'b bin Ashraf says, "Yeah, but why you want loans?" He says, "Yeah, no, we're going through difficulty." So what he said to Muhammad ibn Maslama radiallahu anhu, he said, "I told you, you'll get tired of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You shouldn't join him. That's why you don't have," and so forth. And then he says, "Give me mortgage, leave me surety, and then I'll arrange it for you." He says, "What surety you want?" He says, "Bring your woman and leave them by me, yeah? And then I'll borrow you what you need, the money you want." Look how filthy was the Jewish community at the time, subhanAllah. Allah save us. Imagine, he's telling Hazrat Muhammad ibn Maslama, "Bring your woman and leave them here, then I'll borrow you the money." That was the folk. And then he said, "How can we leave a woman by you?" He says, "Okay, then leave your children." But because Muhammad ibn Maslama was just here to, play with him in that manner. Otherwise, hey, subhanAllah, especially Sahaba radiallahu anhu, and especially the nature of the Arab, someone makes a mockery of the woman, can't bear it. Allahu Akbar. And who can tolerate such a statement? But this was the filth of this society there. Allahu Akbar. And then Hazrat Muhammad ibn Maslama radiallahu anhu fulfilled that task in such an amazing way. Allahu Akbar. And he was very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever any task, he would always take the responsibility of being protecting Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and being close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah. On one occasion, Hazrat Muhammad ibn Maslama was sent in Allah Ta'ala's way with 10 Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They got to this area where they were sent, but then they were attacked. And when they were attacked, his all 10 companions all were killed. It was only him who was left. He was badly injured, but he remained still and they thought that he had passed on. Until after some time, someone passed and saw all the dead bodies of the Shuhada radiallahu anhum, and then he heard "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un," the statement. So he realized that this person has to be Muslim. So he moved to indicate to them that he's still alive, and then they carried him to Madinah Munawwarah. So from that incident, he's known as the martyr who's alive. Allah. But one day, Rasulullah ﷺ called him and said, "Oh Muhammad bin Maslama, take this." And what Allah's Nabi ﷺ gave him? Allah's Nabi ﷺ gave him a gift. And what was that gift? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gifted him a sword. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "You strive for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when Muslims fight each other, then you don't use the sword anymore. You take it to the mountain, you break it, and then you stay at home, and you don't get involved in fitna." This was the advice Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave Hazrat Muhammad ibn Maslama radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And then later on, when they was fitan, then he was approached. "Then why don't you come and help and say what is right?" He says, "When there's fitna, I can never fight Muslim. A Muslim can never ever fight a Muslim." He said, "Why?" And he explained the hadith. And then he took out that wooden sword. He says, "This was what I was given. That I can't, once Muslims fight Muslims, I take the sword and break it. I will not." And then he remained like that, doing for Allah, striving for Allah, but he never got involved in any fitna. There's another amazing incident narrated by Hazrat Muhammad ibn Maslama radiallahu anhu. This is in Tabrani, where he said, "I passed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting very closely to someone, closely with someone, where their cheeks were even very close. And I realized this had never happened before. So I didn't disturb. I just went past. And after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam completed, he called for me. He said, "Oh Muhammad, why you didn't make salam?" So Hazrat Muhammad said, "Oh Nabi of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I saw you sitting talking to someone very closely. I didn't want to disturb you. Who was that, O Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam?" Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "That was Jibreel Alayhi Salam." And he asked me, "Why didn't Muhammad ibn Maslama make salam? Because if Muhammad bin Maslama made salam to us, I would have responded to his salam." Allahu Akbar. So this was what Jibreel alayhi salam said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning the Sahabi, Hazrat Muhammad ibn Maslama radiallahu anhu. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said on that occasion to Hazrat Muhammad ibn Maslama, that why he was talking to me for so long in that posture, he kept on advocating the importance of the neighbor. مَا ذَالَ يُوصِينِي بِالْجَارِ حَتَّى كُنْتُ أَنْتَظِرُ أَن يَأْمُرَنِي بِتَوْرِيدِهِ. I even thought maybe if he's going to talk for longer, he's going to actually tell me that the neighbor is also going to inherit. That was the emphasis on the rights of the neighbor. Mm. This is Muhammad ibn Maslama radiallahu anhu's report. There's one report of Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu as well, where he would come home and he would ask his family, "Did you send for the neighbor?" And at times he himself would send ikram for the neighbor. And then he would say that Jibreel alayhi salam kept on advocating kindness and righteousness and ikram for the neighbor. And I even felt that it might come later on in the injunction that the neighbor should inherit. مَا زَالَ جِبْرِيلُ يُوصِينِ بِالْجَارِ حَتَّى ظَنَنْتُ أَنَّهُ سَيُورِّفُهُ. Now, interestingly, Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar's neighbor was Jewish. Look how Sahaba would even treat their non-Muslim neighbors. So you and I have this opportunity in South Africa that the non-Muslim neighbor must also feel comfortable next to the Muslim, knowing that the Muslim will protect my honor. He will not violate my rights. He will not disrespect the woman folk of my family. The woman folk of my family are respected because we are next to the neighbor. Allah save us. We must never, you know, Allah in the Quran teaches us, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. And say to the believing men, lower their gazes and guard their chastity. That is purer for them. Allah knows their actions. And then Allah in the next verse says, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ O my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is Surah An-Nur, يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ. They must lower their gazes. وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ. And they must preserve their private parts. ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى. وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ. And they should not express and expose their beauty that Allah gave them. So Allah is teaching the men to protect their gaze and guard their chastity. Allah is teaching the women folk. This is an injunction in the Quran that a woman must not expose her beauty out there in the world. Now imagine today there's certain sports coming about where man is going out to play, there's other people's wives there. Sometimes the wife is going with the man and they're going there and other people are looking at his wife. Inna and other Allah. People are looking at his sister. Na'udhubillah, others are looking at his mother. Imagine what Allah says. A woman must not expose her beauty outside in the world. She, if she has to come out of necessity, then she has to cover herself. This is an injunction in the Quran, Surah An-Nur and Surah Al-Ahzab. Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu, O the Nabi of Allah, qul li azwajika wa banatika wa nisa'il mu'minin. Say to your wives, say to your daughters, and to the believing ummah, the believing woman of this ummah, qul li azwajika wa banatika wa nisa'il mu'minin yudnina 'alayhinna min jalabibihin. They must cover themselves with the veil, jalabib, jilbab, from the top to bottom. A woman has to be covered and her garment has to be loose where the shapes and the beauty of her body is not to be exposed. And what is happening in these sports, ya Allah, this is breaking homes. A man is looking at someone else's wife. A woman is looking at someone else's husband. And then chit-chat is taking place. Where is this? When Allah is teaching, tell the woman folk to cover. Allah, how is it possible to cover there? How can that be justified? Allah save us. Rasulullah said, Abdullah bin Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, report. An-nadratu, looking at the opposite sex. This is a poisonous arrow of the devil. The one who denounces this, Allah says, for my sake, I will replace him. I will grant this person. I will give her iman. And they will experience the sweetness of Allah. Iman in their ibadah, in their deen, in their salah. So what? How amazing. Yeah, that's why looking at the opposite sex is totally taboo, not acceptable. How beautifully Allama Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi says, كُلُّ الْحَوَادِثِ مَبْدَأُهَا مِنَ النَّظَرِ وَمُعْظَمُ النَّارِ مِنْ مُسْتَصْغَرِ الشَّرَرِ وَالْمَرْءُ مَا دَامَ ذَا عَيْنٍ يُقَلِّبُهَا فِي أَعْيُنِ الْغَيْبِ مَوْقُوفٌ عَلَى الْخَطَرِ كَمْ نَظْرَةٍ فَتَكَتْ فِي قَلْبِ صَاحِبِهَا فَتْكَ السِّهَامِ بِلَا ولا وتري يسر ناظره ما ضر خاطره لا مرحبا بسرور عاد بالضرر all كل الحوادث all sins starts with the gaze مبدأها من النظر and then he gives the parable even a fire that is kindled it starts with sparks كل الحوادث مبدأها من النظر ومعظم النار من مستصغر الشر. And then he says, a person, as long as he revolves his gaze and misuses it and unleashes it, looking here and there, admiring the wives of others, the daughters of others, the sisters of others, ما دام ذا عين يقلبها, looking at the beautiful beauty of others, في أعين الغيد, غيد is the beautiful neck of a woman, looking at the beauty of others. موقوفٌ على الخطر. He is endangered. His iman is at stake. His marriage is at stake. His home is at stake. How many a time, كم نظرةٍ, how many a time just the gaze devastates the heart of a person. فتكت في قلب صاحبها. And then he says, فتك السهام, like the arrow. The bullet when shot at the target. When the arrow shoots that target, how it devastates that target, damages the target, breaks through. When we are looking, that is happening to our heart spiritually. It is breaking, it is cracking, it is crumbling. فَتْكَ السِّهَامِ بِلَا قَوْسٍ وَلَا وَتَرِي. And then he says, what pleases the eyes is detrimental to the mind. يَسُرُّ نَاظِرَهُ مَا ضَرَّ خَاطِرَهُ يسر ناظره مقلته ما ضر مهجته what pleases the eyes devastates the heart يسر ناظره ما ضر خاطره لا مرحبا how can I welcome لا مرحبا little bit of pleasure the outcome of which is a catastrophe لا مرحبا بسرور عاد بالضرر that's why Allah give us tawfiq this is so important for us to protect our gaze, to protect our chastity. Allah says, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ Say to the believing men, lower their gazes, وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ And preserve their chastity and their private part. And the verses is linked. When we protect our gaze, Allah will help us protect our chastity. That's why so important is this, to fulfill the rights of others by men greet men, women greet women. My sister, you greet the other woman. But like this, Allah save us. Allah save us. This is a fitna that is causing many, many homes to break. And one of the fitnas of, one of the detriments of looking at and things like this is a person now comes home, he's not happy with what Allah gave him. When a person protects his gaze and a woman protects her gaze, and then Allah Ta'ala gives them the ability to appreciate what Allah gave. But when we don't, then a person is unhappy with what Allah gave. And then that's the fitna, that's the test. Where it seems, the test is, it seems that the grass seems greener on the other side. It's not. That side also, there's a lot of thorns and weeds and a lot of insects lurking inside there. So this is dunya, it's the place of test. It starts by protecting the gaze. And like that, even Allah Ta'ala says to the woman folk, when she covers herself, ذَلِكَ أَدْنَا أَيُّعْرَفْنَا That is worthy where she will be respected. She'll be known to be a Muslimah. She'll be respected. No one will just approach you and start chit-chatting. Two sisters, one respectable, walking down, if she was walking down. and the other dressed, you know, and undressed, and she's also walking down. If that youngster who's looking for a catch and looking for a fix, or na'udhu billah, looking to flirt, he's not going to interfere with the one who covered herself correctly, like the sahabiyat radhiyallahu anhum. She'll be respected. Two sweets, one is wrapped nicely, beautifully in a wrapper, and you know, put on the plate, and the other is licked and tossed one side. The flies and the insects are going to go towards which one? Where's the filth going to go towards? So in the same way, we have to be careful. Allah Ta'ala save us from these fitan that are coming about in our community. Anyway, Hazrat Muhammad ibn Maslama radiallahu anhu, he carried on striving for Allah, and he remained chaste, firm on his deen, alhamdulillah. And he was very close to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. And what was very special Hazrat Umar loved about him was he was very straight. Hazrat Umar would send him on very pertinent tasks, and he would do exactly as Hazrat Umar did. Now, Hazrat Umar's level of faith and iman was subhanallah, and all the Sahaba kiram radiallahu anhum. In Persia, Hazrat Sa'ad was in a big home where his office was, and Hazrat Umar heard that that office had a door. Hazrat Umar got very upset. Even though having a door was permissible, but Hazrat Umar didn't want a door in his governor's office, because people must just seek permission and come in. The governor must be available. The senior must be available to the people. This is what Hazrat Umar wanted. He sent Hazrat Muhammad ibn Maslama, go straight there from Madinah Munawwara, go to Persia and burn that door. Not that Hazrat Sa'ad did anything wrong, but this was the level of the iman of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. On one occasion, Hazrat Umar asked Muhammad ibn Maslama radiallahu anhu, is everything right in me? You know, am I doing the right thing? How do you see me, O Muhammad? Correct me if there's anything. SubhanAllah. Look at Hazrat Umar, and he wants to be corrected. He wants any guidance. SubhanAllah. He says, oh, Amir al-Mu'mineen, I see you as I like to see you, and how every person should be. Firm, you do the best for the Ummah, you are chaste, you are just, and whatever you have and whatever is for the Ummah, you give it to the Ummah, and you remain firm on the truth. And if you were to avert, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, we'll straighten you like an arrow is straightened. This is what Hazrat Muhammad ibn Maslama said to Hazrat Umar. Hazrat Umar didn't say, oh, who you think to talk to me like that? Who you think you are? No. He said, Allah, I thank you. You made me amongst the people who, even if I go wrong, they are prepared to correct me and straighten me. Allahu Akbar. On one occasion, Hazrat Muhammad ibn Maslama was in the masjid. And he, subhanallah, he started, after his salah, he started saying, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. But Hazrat Umar, you know, heard that, he called for him. So Hazrat Muhammad ibn Maslama said, I'll make two rakats and I'll go. When he came there, he said, what happened? Oh, Muhammad ibn Maslama, why are you calling out the takbir like that in the masjid? Anything happened? He says, no, I was coming, and I saw this Qurashi youngster, and he was wearing this beautiful garment. Hulla. Hulla is two garments, a top and a bottom, meaning a kurta and a izar, but from the same material. It's called hulla in Arabic. So I asked him, who clothed you with this? Amir al-Mu'mineen. So I went further. I saw another Qurashi youngster, the same, well-dressed. Then I saw an Ansari youngster, but he was of an inferior quality from the previous two. So I said, Allah, how could this be? You know? And I asked him, who clothed you with this? He said, Amir al-Mu'mineen. So Hazrat Muhammad ibn Maslama then said, he thought to himself that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yeah, you will receive preferential treatment. That's why I was sad. That I didn't think this could happen from you, or Umar. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said, hey, I'm so sorry. It will never ever happen again. And he cried, and he accepted the indication and the correction of Hazrat Muhammad ibn Maslama. That it didn't happen consciously or intentionally, but I'll make sure it never happens again. SubhanAllah. And like that, Hazrat Muhammad ibn Maslama radiallahu anhu carried on striving for Allah. And it was in Safar in the year 46 Hijri, and he was 77 years old when he left this world. But as this last request I want to make, Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimahullah was going towards Masjid Aqsa after he had liberated it. And there was an elderly Christian who stopped him and said, Sultan, Ayyuha Sultan, please tell me something. So Salahuddin turned towards the elderly person and said to him, what is it, my friend? What can I tell you? How can I help you? He said, I wanted to know, why did you treat us so kindly? What prompted you? What drove you to be so good in your treatment of us? Because not 100 years ago, Less than 100 years ago, the Crusaders harmed and ransacked and massacred innocent men, women, and children. And you know of that. Yeah, you all took over, and you were so kind and fair with us. He says, it's my deen that advocates this. So the elderly man was saying, I knew it had to be your deen, but I just wanted to know for myself. Make me read this kalima of this deen that teaches you such sublime character. Respected Ummah, respected Muslims, let's take people on time. Let's be honest in our dealings. Let's not take people for a ride. Let it not be that due to our ways, actions, and dealings, people think Islam is like that. Let it not be so, respected Muslim Ummah. We have to show the people our deen through our dealings, through our character, through our akhlaq, through our payment on time and beforehand, and through our honesty and integrity. Even if we're selling something that has false, explain it. Allah give us tawfiq. Jazakumullah for the opportunity. Wabarakallahu feekum.
Jazakumullah khairan to you, Mufti Sahib, for giving us these reminders where we can reform and better ourselves. We appreciate your time. Please make dua for us. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.